on a field day for my Lord, for my Lord. Well, it's a Holy Ghost field day. It's a Holy Ghost field day. It's a Holy Ghost field day for my Lord, for my Lord.
If I were a sinner, I'd tell you what I would do. I'd quit my sin and I'd go.
Oh, we're working on a field day. We're working on a field day. We're working on a field day for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost field day. It's a Holy Ghost field day. It's a Holy Ghost field day for my Lord, for my Lord.
If I were a preacher, I'd tell you what I would do. I'd keep right on.
Yeah, we're working on a building. We're working on a building. We're working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord.
If I were a singer,
what would you
I'd
do?
Tell you what I would do.
What would you do?
I'd keep right on singing.
Amen. Oh, sing it now. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise tonight. You love Him with all your heart. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, aren't you glad you are a building that's being worked on? And we're working on the building for our Lord, for our Lord. Amen. We're being designed by the chief designer, Brother Terry. I'll tell you what, the growing pains are tough sometimes. But aren't you glad you're growing? Look at somebody and say, let's grow together. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord another big hand clap of praise tonight. He's worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Oh, I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord. Amen. Let's look at our prayer request tonight, Brother Terry. Sister Jaretta Stockton, both having problems in their back. They're asking that we would remember them in prayer. Brother Daniel Barclay wants us to remember his mother, Veda Hall, in prayer. Also his nephew, Daniel Sineker, is having problems. We'd want to remember him in prayer. Brother Barclay is going to be driving to Tampa, Florida tonight to visit his mother. He wants us to remember him as he travels, that the Lord would give him traveling mercy. Sister Jan Hall has been diagnosed with malignant tumor, cancer in her breast. They're asking that we would remember her in prayer tonight. I want to pray for Brother Eugene and Sister Janet Kennedy for a special touch. Just remember them. Sister Janet Payne sends this in to please request prayer for Mac McClellan. He's the landlord at Powder Branch Road, whose wife passed away on Sunday from cancer. He's been very good to the people here at our assembly. So they're asking that we would remember. I think he owns several apartments and places to live over on Powder Branch, and just been good to the folks here. So they're asking that we would remember him during this time. I want to remember Brother Gary Hall, that he'll be able to find work. Brother Jose, Sister Elizabeth Manley says to please pray for Israel, who has back pain for the last couple of days. So we'll remember him in prayer. Sister Margaret Wilkinson sends this in. I'd appreciate prayer for my brother John Field. He is a diabetic and a sore has developed on his foot. The doctors are looking at maybe having to amputate, so they're asking that we would remember him in prayer. Most of all, pray for him, his spiritual situation. His life is in desperate condition, so let's just pray that the Lord would intervene. And Brother Al from New York says, dear saints, please pray for my supervisor's wife, Roxanne Trammell, who has cancer, and the doctors have put her into hospice, so they're asking that we would remember her in prayer tonight. Sister Anna says to please pray for Sister Anna Altland's mother, Dolores Becker, who is having surgery on Monday for an aneurysm. So let's remember that prayer request. We'll remember Helen and Jean Littleton. They miss coming to church. That prayer request, let's pray for those folks tonight. And also want to pray for a Brandy Anthon. I can't pronounce that last name, from Louisiana. She has had a child, and the child is not expected to live. So they're asking us to remember those folks as well tonight in prayer. Certainly want to continue to pray for Sister Natalie. Remember her as we pray tonight, all the needs in our local assembly. If you have something tonight you'd like for this group to pray about, how many of you know that we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems? Brother Wyco, would you come tonight, if you would, my brother, lead us to the Lord in prayer. Let's just pray and invite the presence of our Lord into this service tonight and go to the Lord on behalf of these requests. God bless you, brother.
Our dear Heavenly Father, as we approach you tonight, Father, we come with humbled hearts, Lord, just knowing that you're here with us, Lord, that you meet with us when we come through these doors, Lord. And these old houses we live in, Lord, they get wore out, they get tired, they get sick. You never said we wouldn't have problems, Lord. You said you'd be with us. You said you'd heal these houses we live in. You said you'd deliver us. You promised to be a friend to us. You promised to walk through life with us until the end of the age, Lord. And you've kept all them promises, Father. And we bring our brothers and sisters before you tonight, Lord, and so much suffering, Lord, in the assembly here, and it weighs on our heart real heavy sometimes, Lord. Please, Father, come to their rescue. Please bless them, Lord. And please comfort them, Father. If they have to go through this, Lord, even through a doctor or whatever, I thought about Brother and Sister Hall. It seemed like they're just going through so much right now, Lord. Please be a comfort and a friend and a healer to them, Lord. And Father, bless this assembly tonight, Father. And bless us as we gather in your name, Lord. We love you. We thank you for bringing us this far. You've watched over us down through the years. And you've brought us here tonight, Lord. And you always speak to us, Lord. Always. And sometimes we get so discouraged in our walk, Lord. We thought, Lord, I just don't know if I can go any further. And we come through these doors, and you use the man of God to speak to us. And we thank you for these things, Lord. You're with us. We know you are. We love you tonight, and we commit this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. God bless you tonight. Appreciate you. Turn around, shake somebody's hand tonight. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord. Amen. What a privilege it is once again to be in the house of the Lord. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Let's sing it tonight if you will. Play some of it while they fellowship, brethren. Play it. Go ahead and fellowship. It won't hurt you one bit. Bless you, boy. John, God bless you. Good to see you. God bless you. Play it, boys.
Hold to God's unchanging name.
aging hands. Well, let's hold to God's unchanging hand. Now covet not this world's vain riches. Well, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand.
Build your hopes on things eternal.
Is completed. If to God you have been true.
Oh, fair and bright.
Hallelujah.
Our home in glory.
Oh, aren't you looking forward to it, church?
Oh, you're enraptured soul.
Oh, sing it now, church.
Unchanging hand.
Unchanging hand. Oh, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand.
Unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal.
Oh, we're gonna hold to God's unchanging hand. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Let's sing this little chorus just before we change the order of the service tonight. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. You know, we come into these doors three times a week. It's untelling what all is on our minds, what all we have faced during the course of that particular day. But I'm going to tell you something. When you come in these doors, every one of us, we need to lay our troubles, lay them somewhere. Enter in and let's worship the Lord. I know it's hard to press through your troubles at times. It's hard for me to be a good cheerleader at times. It's hard. I don't care what you say. It's hard to be a good cheerleader. But Terry, it's not easy every time you get up to preach. You have to press. Sometimes the only way you'll get what you need from the Lord, you got to be willing to press. You got to be willing to fight whatever you got to fight to get something from the Lord. And it's all right here, whether how bad you want it or not. How bad do you want a good service tonight? How bad do you want the Lord to do something wonderful in your life tonight? Oh, let's give Him a good hand clap of praise. I want you real bad tonight, Lord. I need you so very much tonight. We all need you tonight, Lord. We need you more than we need life. We need you more than we need houses and land. We need you tonight. Come and be among us, Lord. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Oh, sing it to Him, church. Why don't you lift Him, oh, arms up to Him tonight. Ask Him to come and be with you in this service tonight. I want you to sing with all your heart. Oh, Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Yes, You are, Lord. You're very welcome here tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, oh, Thou art welcome. Amen. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. Sister Gerald, if you'll come, give us a song tonight. Brother Harry has a song after she sings. We'll go right on into the service tonight. Let's enjoy our singers as they sing for us at this time.
Every tree upon the mountainside is numbered. At the gentle breath of God, their branches move. Every living thing we see is made by God's hand. And He sees and knows each deed that we all do. He made this earth and He made the sea. Tell me who but God could make such things as these. He makes the clouds. Scarred by sin. In exchange, He'll give sweet peace and joy within. Oh, how He does this, I could never fully tell. But I know when God does things well. He made this earth and he made the sea. Tell me who but God could make such things as he makes a plan. Great, he is worthy of our praise. God can take a hopeless life that's scarred by sin. In exchange, he'll give sweet peace and joy within. I could never fully tell, but I know when God performs, he does things well. He made this earth and he made the sea. Tell me who but God could make such things as these.
Help me sing.
I've seen some pretty towns. Yes, you could say that I've been around. I found no place to settle down. But there is just a pilgrim here, toiling through this world of fear. My time to leave, it is drawing near. I'm going to that land. There is a land that I'm so homesick for, though I've never seen it before. I've got loved ones waiting on that shore. There is a land, and it's not I'm starting to speed up. One day they'll slow down. There is a land. Why am I so homesick for just not myself here in Laodicea anymore? 'Cause I'm longing for that leads to that land. So I'll dry my weeping eyes, lift my head toward the sky. Farewell to this world, goodbye. I'm going to that land that is my homeland. There is a land I'm so homesick for, though I've never seen it before. I've got loved ones waiting on that shore. There is a land, and it's not
grateful we are for such a place. Let's turn tonight, if you would, in the book of Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. I'd like to read begin with verse 4. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. Now you believe God has a right to make that kind of choice? You believe God has a right? Let me ask you that. You believe God has a right if God wants to look at a certain group of people and tell them that? He's just in doing that? Right? Now let's read again. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. Above, not the same as, but above all people. This is why. For all the earth is mine. Now if I take this handkerchief right here and I'm going to take it outside and rub it real good in the grease and transform it from white to black, do I have a right to do that? What if I want to rub it in red clay and make it red? What if I want to dye it yellow and put pink polka dots on it and orange stripes? Is that okay if I do that? Since it's mine, you better believe it's okay. You say, I don't like it. Don't remember asking you. This is mine. If I want to throw it away, I'll throw it away. If I want to wipe sweat, I'll wipe sweat. Because it's mine. So God says, all the earth is mine. All the people that are here, I can do whatever I want to with them. Now listen to this great choice that God tells the children of Israel. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. An entire kingdom of priests. This had never been heard of. Never. For the thousands of years that man had existed on the earth, this thought had never been heard of before. A kingdom of priests? And you should be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Not just one or two now pulled out of that, but the entire nation would be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Let me read this to you from Five Identifications of the Church. We've been reading this several times, but I think it'll mean more to you. The Old Testament, the church was called the kingdom of God. In other words, God is a king, and the church is his domain, God's kingdom. Amen. In the New Testament, it's called the Messianic Empire. Oh, I like that. messianic and otherwise the Messiah's empire, where the Messiah rules and reigns. No denominational barriers or nothing. The Messiah rules in his empire. Isn't that wonderful thinking? Isn't that wonderful thinking? Messianic empire. Therefore, the church is not an organization. The church is not a gathering of people. The church is the people of God that's been called out of the world to serve in another kingdom. Amen. Let's bow our heads together, if you would, and we'll ask God's blessings over the word tonight. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much, Father, that we have been blessed to hear and know these truths. We ask, Lord, as we have assembled ourselves together once again tonight for the purpose of hearing from you. We assemble certainly to shake one another's hands and speak to one another and to hear prayer requests and offer prayers and petitions. But really, the most important part of the service is about to take place right now. And that is the breaking of the bread of life. And the only one that can really break it right is you, Lord. So I pray, first of all, that you'd help me. Help me to get out of the way, that you can speak through me, Lord Jesus, to your children. Then I pray for them that you would help them to also get out of the way so they can hear. Because if they hear with their own ability, their own intellect, they'll receive so little out of what you want them to know. So speak through me and hear through them and manifest your glory through us all, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, my dear friends. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you from those places in the scripture and from this quote on three words. The king's guards. The king's possessive, guards plural. The king's guards. Ever since there's been a king, he has always had guards. We, those of you who have studied history and know that down through time when there was a natural king on the earth, because the man's position was greatly threatened or could be, they would have guards there that would watch over that king. It was men of a very high calling and choice. You are familiar with, of course, the Praetorian Guard of the Roman Empire. The word Praetorian, our English word, comes from Praetoria of the Latin. And it actually was the term that was used to define the tent of the commanding officer in charge of a campaign. But in time they took that word and added another one to it and made it the Praetorian Guard, Julius Caesar being one of the first ones to have it. So they would hand choose certain men, men that were very loyal, men that were faithful to the cause, they felt like, men that were men of great strengths. They would pick men that were diverse. They would not pick men that would all have the same loyalty to the same general in case that general would want to produce a coup and be able to come and take away the seat of the emperor. So they would choose guards very carefully, and they would select men of different backgrounds. You're familiar, of course, with the Swiss Guard that to this day guards the Vatican, which has been there since the popes in the 1500s chose the Swiss. For those of you that know history, you know that the Swiss Guard has been something that has been chosen by many different kings of Europe and by different pontiffs and all down through time. Since the 1500s, it's been there set in motion since then until the present day. So each of those are a reflection of a higher, greater picture. But it does show something that the kingdoms of the earth see. That they must have an army, they must have generals, they must have commanding officers. But then when it comes right down to it, for the most part, if there would be an attack upon the palace and the army was in Gaul or the army was somewhere else, the army would be really of no value to the emperor if he is in Rome and there would be an attack upon his position or his person. So the guard was chosen to guard the person of the emperor or the king. So the guard must be very powerful. They must be trained. They must be able to protect the king or the emperor. They must be trained in ways to get him out in the time of trouble. They must be trained how to deal with very bad situations with a very small number of resources. So the Praetorian Guard was not tens of thousands of men, but it would be a very small handful. The Swiss Army, the same way. So it was people that was not great magnitudes of people, but it was, yes, a category or a class that were above the others. Now they were taken from among men, but they were more trained, more specialized. Now, whenever we think then that our father was, of course, the first and original king. And in the beginning, actually, he likewise had guards around the throne. Now, in the original position of the holder of that, we don't know exactly for sure how many there were, but we do know that Lucifer, son of the morning, the day star, all the different adjectives that was given to describe him, he was one of the ones that stopped the approach to the throne of God. Now, it was not like that there was any real threat to the throne of God until he himself had fallen, but God cannot learn anything new, so if God is going to ever have throne guards, he must have them in the beginning. They must be there to reflect his intelligence, his perfection. So after the fall came, then we see something coming into view that was already there foreshadowed in the mind of God. And we know that when God does something in heaven, that more than likely, if it is something in the very character of God, it will also be reflected on the earth in a similar way. Now, whenever God then had the throne guards around the throne of God, and it went for many, many years, actually, before we were able to get an insight to the new number that was identified protecting the throne. It was many years before God actually opened up the mystery to around the throne to let it be peered into by the people on the earth. And really, before God ever did it in that way, God mirrored that upon the earth and showed it upon the earth first before he actually showed a clear view up in heaven. Now this is peculiar because most of the time God will set forth the heavenly and then show the reflection of the earthly. But then there are times that God will show it on the earth first and then it will reflect itself further in heaven. Everybody with me so far? Now, whenever God began to call the people of Israel, and of course you know that he dealt with Abraham first, Abraham being a Gentile, and God changing him and giving him basically a new race. Now, they were not that they were of a separate bloodline initially, but God calls out this man and they actually don't even attain the name Jews until hundreds and hundreds of years after Abraham, because Abraham was not a Jew.
The name Jew was given to them after the captivity, and they were called Jews basically because of the tribe of Judah. Now, we call them Jews today, and it's a name that's been tacked on them for many, many years, but Abraham was not a Jew. Abraham was a man like any other man, but he was called in the sense that God had called him. Not that Abraham chose God, but God chose Abraham. Now, this is God's choice, and God chose him out of all the people that was upon the face of the earth. Abraham was given a very special place in the eyes of God. And God not only called Abraham himself, but he chose this man and chose the stages of his life and the pattern of the way God would deal with him, and he would set that in cycle or in motion so that this man would actually be a type of the posterity or the inheritance of his race for hundreds and hundreds of years to come, and then also make a spiritual parallel out of the man so that there would be people after the cross that would come and follow in the same pattern. Now, as the Jews progressed and grew and walked in the steps of Abraham, so has the elect of God after the cross, as God dealt with us through justification by faith, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, as God dealt with our natural father Abraham in the natural sense, so has he dealt with us in the spiritual sense. You follow me? Now, God did this portraying something in the life of Abraham that would be in the life of every predestinated seed. So God calls out this tribe of people and makes them separate from all the rest of the earth. Now, God calls them from one man. Then God will begin to bless their posterity. Now, they go down the land of Egypt, and I know these are things that you know, but we'll go over them just for a little bit. They go down the land of Egypt, and there they have an absolute population explosion. While they're there, God begins to identify and give them each one an identity. Now, they started out with one man. But God is not going to just any longer just bless them, and they're going to just be called the seed of Abraham, one man. But they're going to branch out. Now, Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Out of Jacob now comes the patriarchs. Now, from there, then they will begin to spread forth, and then God will reach out to two grandsons, which comes by Joseph, and he will bring them in, and then the prophet will cross his hands and give to them the birthright through the cross, and the two grandsons will be adopted in as if they were Jacob's own son. Now, here again we get another picture of the epitome of the cross, that they were not of the same genos in the sense of the same generation. They are grandchildren, but yet God brought them in, showing that God don't have any grandchildren, that he has all sons and daughters. So God brought them in and made them heirs of the tribal order. Now, whenever God then is dealing with them, and he lets them go down the land of Egypt, then he sends Moses out and tells them, I brought you out of the land of Egypt, I bear you up on eagle's wings, which was a prophet's ministry. Now, when God does not rename all of these children of Israel and now call them all the children of Moses. Now, why wouldn't God do that? Why wouldn't God just rename them, because this is the man who brought them out? Why not just call them all Mosesites? Why not do away with the name of Judah and Reuben and Benjamin and Naphtali and Issachar and all that, and just call them all the children of Moses, because that was not God's program. Now, God uses Moses, and he was a great deliverer, but God does not tell Moses, put your name on them. Now, I realize a lot of the message folks would rather be called a Branhamite than they would a Christian, and that's because they're not born again. Because if you ever really get born again, you want to bear the name of your bridegroom, not the name of your prophet. You don't want to be called Donnie Reagan. You don't want to be called the name of any other man, but you want the name of your bridegroom, because that's the one you're married to, if indeed you are married to him. Now, so when they come out, God then begins to unveil in this tribes of people what he's going to do in the Old Testament. Now he begins the kingdom of God. So it's the kingdom of God under an Old Testament type of what God will further do under the New Testament. Then it's called the kingdom of God. In the New Testament, it will be the Messianic Empire. It could not be called the Messianic Empire there, because the Messiah was not sent in the fullness. It would come in the form of prophets, in the form of judges, in the form of deliverers, but this name must be kept for the New Testament. So God calls them out under Moses' ministry. Now he wants to give each one of these tribes an inheritance. And then he's going to give every family in that tribe an inheritance, and then every one of those will come out and they will find their proper position. And yet God gives them positionally what they're going to do and what they will inherit. And they also have an identification before they ever get to the land that God had made a promise to their father Abraham. Now he tells them, lift up your eyes and as far as you can see this way and that way and that way, I give you the land. But they also had an inheritance in the tabernacle before they ever got to the land of promise. Now watch, God gave them an inheritance in divine worship. Now this can be easy overlooked because the carnal man looks so much at the natural inheritance. He looks at houses, cars, he looks at acreage, he looks at cattle, he looks at horses, he looks at all the natural inheritance. But before they ever got a natural inheritance, before they ever got 1 acre of ground, they were given an inheritance in the order of divine worship. And I want you to realize, Happy Valley, that we have more. Oh, you say, God's blessed me so much. Boy, I tell you, I've got nice clothes and I've got a nice car and I've got a nice wife and nice children and nice grandchildren. That's only the natural things of life. What about our spiritual inheritance? God has given us something that money cannot buy. God has given us a favor that nothing in this world can ever take the place of. And I'm afraid sometimes we count our many blessings on the outside. But do we count our inheritance in the order of divine worship? Now, let's read, if you would, in the book of Numbers, chapter 2. Of course, you remember Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, on and on and on. And the order of the way that the Bible is written here places us in how God wanted it to be revealed in the canon of Scripture. So in the history of the way God did this, the book of Numbers is given this because they're coming out and they're in their journey and now they're numbered time and time again. Now, this is for a reason. So they're going to find their position. They've got to get, you know, over to this land, but God knows it's going to take years before they actually ever move into the land. So are they going to be exempt from worship while they're in their journey? So point A, we'll say, is the land of Egypt. Point B is the land of Palestine. So it's going to take them years and years to get from point A to point B. So what are they going to do in between here? Are they just going to fight and plunder and take over this and take over that? God says no. You have a spiritual responsibility before you ever get to that land. Friends, I want to go to heaven. I want to see the millennium. I want to see the throne of God. But I don't want to just be, you know, so heavenly minded. I'm no earthly good in between point A and point B. I want to find what I'm supposed to do here. I want to do it with all of my heart. I want my position. Do you? I want to know what God wants me to be, and I want to do it with everything I can. Now watch here in the book of Numbers, chapter 2, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard with the ensign of their father's house. Far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. Now remember, we're dealing under this series that we've been dealing with for quite some time, is the new administration. So here we're looking at them in a type of what God was going to do by the new birth in the New Testament. So here they are, they're going to gather around the tabernacle. Now this is before they don't have any land. They have no inheritance as far as yet. But this is first. This is first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all the rest of these things shall be added unto you. People put their job before God. They put money before God. They put a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a mom and a daddy before God. And then they wonder why they can't grow spiritually. That ought to be your answer. If you'll put him first in everything you do, he'll bless you in everything you do. Now, you know, the God laying out the tabernacle. Now, God does not unveil exactly the particulars of the throne guards in heaven. But yet, they are there. So the king had guards in heaven to tell Moses, now build this according to the pattern of what I showed you in the mount. So then they look at the tabernacle and they have a pretty good idea that there must be a temple in heaven. And there must be a holy place. And there must be cherubims that's overshadowing something. And then they must have looked at themselves. And I wonder, did it ever hit them? They were the throne guards. Could they have ever looked at themselves and saw the mirrored reflection from around the throne of God was now manifest on the earth in tribes? Now, there's four sides, of course, to the tabernacle. North, south, east, west. There are 12 tribes. So God says, I want you to take, and we're going to choose four main tribes. Each tribe has its own banner. So there's 12 banners, ensigns, insignia, flag, and so you'll understand it. So each tribe would have its own flag. But there's not 12 sides to the tabernacle. There's only four. But what that means is that there's going to have to be three tribes that'll gather together under one main banner. Now they will maintain their own individuality. They will not lose their own flag. They will not lose their own insignia. But they will gather under one head. So here is one main head on the east side. Three tribes under him. Amen. On the west side will be another main head. Three tribes under him. Now if you would walk out among them, and then you'd break over here under Reuben, you'd see this tribe, that tribe, and that tribe. And you would be able to see their banner, their insignia, their flag flying. But the main representative of the throne guard on the east side would be Judah. On the north side, it would be Dan. So they, each one of those. Now, for those who did not like to be under somebody, they're going to be in a mess. Now you realize, well, that puts folks around the message that don't feel like they need to go to church and they don't need a pastor and they don't need to hear nobody. You realize where it puts them? Out of the economy of God. Amen. Very easy to understand, because if you're not under a banner that God places you there, then you're out of the economy of God, which means God does not receive your worship. Now watch, every man, everybody together now, let's say it, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard with the ensign of their father's house. Forth about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. Now, they must keep a distance. They must have a distance. And on the east side, toward the rising of the sun, shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah. Now notice, not the tribe, but the camp. So on the east side of the tabernacle, you've got what is called the camp of Judah. But everybody in that camp is not of that tribe. Isn't it amazing how we're in the message are? We've got two soul camps and three soul and four soul and five soul and all these different camps. And the only ones who will have fellowship with us is those that's in our camp. How contrary that is to the real scripture. Anybody won't come in our camp, bless God, we won't have them. How do you feel about Brother Donnie? What do you think about Happy Valley? I don't like him. Well, you're going to hell. You're of the devil. You're a serpent seed. We won't fellowship with nobody unless they're in our camp. But notice how God did. God merged them together. Now remember, they're maintaining their tribal identity and they're maintaining their individual identity, but they're called now as they gather together under the camp of Judah. Now, if you've got a problem of jealousy, I'm afraid you're going to be in a mess in this worship. Now, why did God pick Judah and Reuben and Dan and these others, Ephraim? And what about all the other ones who had to subdue themselves or subject themselves under Judah's banner? You just agreed with me a while ago. You believe God could choose. But what if God chose to put you under somebody? Now, most of us would have no problem with God choosing to put us above everybody. We could say, that's exactly right, God. You need to do it because I'll tell you one thing, God, I can help everybody on the earth. Right. Right. But what if God said, I want the rest of you tribes, you're going to sit and be subject unto this one. On the east side, toward the rising of the sun, shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies, and Nashon, the son of Abinadab, shall be captain of the children of Judah. So here the throne guards have an hierarchy. You don't just come and go as you please and do whatever you want to do, but there's a hierarchy and the calling of God. Friends, do you understand? These different hierarchies around the tabernacle is a reflection of the categories of beings that are around the throne of God. Do you understand? There are categories of beings in heaven that differ one from the other. Now watch in verse 10. On the south side shall be the standard of the camp of Reuben according to their armies. And the captain of the children of Reuben shall be Elizur, the son of Shedur. Verse 18. On the west side shall be the standard of the camp of Ephraim. Now remember, Ephraim was a grandson. But he has been elevated through the cross to a position of sonship. Why? Because God chose him. Now can you imagine some of them boys saying, you're not an heir, you're not the same as us. Says who? God said he was. Glory. You better look at the Lord and say, he ain't got enough money. He's black. He's white. Who are you anyhow? You ain't the one that does the choosing. God does. God can pick a black man, he can pick a Japanese, a Chinese, he can do whatever he wants to do. And I'd advise you to like it. If you want to be part of it, that is. Now, watch, on the west side, the center of the camp of Ephraim, according to their armies, and the captain of the sons of Ephraim shall be Elishama, the son of Amud. Now watch, God even designates who's going to be in charge of the camp. Glory to God. Verse 25. The standard of the camp of Dan shall be on the north side by their armies, and the captain of the children of Dan shall be Ahiezer, the son of Amishaddai. Maybe be able to show them a little bit about what this looks like, brothers. Now watch, God, where he is, in the middle. Now this is his throne on the earth. And God has designated the throne guards. So the king is protected. But by whom? It's not zooms. It's not cherubims. It's not therions, Greek word for beast. It's not living creatures. It is not redeemed humanity. For they aren't yet fully redeemed. So the Almighty condescended down among them and said, every night when we set up camp, this is the way we're going to do it. Y'all don't go where you want to go. When are we ever going to get it in our heads? We are not our own bosses. You young people, let me save you a lot of years of trouble and fussing and fighting with God. You are not your own. Or you say, I want to be a lawyer, I want to be a doctor. You have no right to choose your own vocation in life. You should go to him who brought you here and say, what do you want me to be? Oh, but that's not what I want to. I want to be something else. I'll tell you one thing. I'm sure glad God didn't let Brother Branham be what he wanted to be. Brother Branham wanted to be a guide. He wanted to be a man that would take people hunting, but I'm glad God didn't let him do that. I'm glad God chose him to be a bride guide, not a lion guide. Amen, amen. We're not going on a hunting trip, we're going on a heaven trip. You better be glad God did not let me be what I wanted to be. My mother's mother, my grandmother, gave me a Bible when I was about 11 years old. Wrote my name in it. Said, I hope I'm alive to hear you preach your first sermon. I said, I ain't no preacher. She said, but you will be. Well, I had no desire to do such a thing. Let me shock you. I still don't. But I'm glad. I got enough sense to know he knows what I need to do instead of me. Listen, friends. I believe if we would seek God's counsel, he would spare us of so much stuff we go through in life. You laugh at me and make fun of me if you want to. But before you get ready to trade cars, if I was you, I'd pray, God, you lead me to the right one. You lead me, Lord, where should I move? Don't just drive through the ridges or drive over here. I like that house. You said, say, God, is there any detriment to me living there? Would my wife get around the wrong women in this neighborhood? Would my children get around the wrong people in this neighborhood, Lord? Come on, church, don't look at me funny. There is an order to worship. And the throne guards must be set in a certain way. Thousands and thousands and thousands on each side. Now they could not camp over here tonight and then decide, man, somebody in that tent next to me snored all night, kept me up all night long. My noisemaker went down during the night. My batteries went dead. I turned and tossed all night long. I'm moving on the other side of the camp tomorrow night. You could not do that. You were designated a place. Glory. You were designated a place. It was your post of duty. I'm going to knock your socks off. You ain't got no choice of where you go to church. You ain't got no choice. I'm going to visit Happy Valley for a while, and then I'm going to go down to Brother Bill's, and I'm going to visit over there. And I'm going to go up to Brother Adams tonight, and I'm going to visit there, and I'm going to go up here to Brother so-and-so's, and I'm going to pick out which one I want. You ain't got no right to do such a thing. When are we ever going to accept what the Bible says, that we are not our own? We are bought with a price. When I'm my own boss, that's our problem. We are our own boss. Instead of submitting to the word and say, where do you want me, sir? Brother Richard, show him another one. Now watch, God. Knowing, of course, it's going to be a risk. If you set this one here at this side, that one at that side, that one at that side, that one at the other side, somebody's going to get mad. Somebody's going to get your feelings hurt. But should God cater to us or cater to himself? Again, Brother Richard. Now, I want you to think that God has guards all around him. And then he has chosen a certain approach by which certain ones can come in and offer certain sacrifices, which of course the Levites. Now, watch this. Brother Bram says in Revelation chapter 4, let's show him this quote if you would. 4 is the number of earths. Did you know that? How many knows? Now before we got into this, 4 is an earthly number. Like the 4 Hebrew, it's the earth, it's the number of the earth, deliverance now. Keep that in your mind, deliverance, because I'm going to strike it in just a minute hard, deliverance. There was 3 Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, but the 4th one come. It was deliverance. Glory. Lazarus was in the grave 3 days, but when the 4th one come, he was delivered. Four is God's number of deliverance. So why does God not make the tabernacle in the shape of a pyramidal base and make it to reflect the triune God? Three. Why not make it seven-sided to reflect completion, perfection? Why not go this octagon? Eight, speaking of eternity. But watch his numbers. The size of the building, the rectangular shape, the way he chose it, so everywhere you look at it would be 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Why? Everywhere you looked, it's the number of earthly deliverance. Notice Brother Bram says, Israel in their journey, when they camped, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. That's the way they camped around the mercy seat. Watch. 1, 2, 3, east side. 1, 2, 3, north side. 1, 2, 3, west side. 1, 2, 3, south side. 1, 2, 3, 4. You imagine the great eternal having throne guards like this.
Amen.
What kind of king is this anyway? That would put people of this caliber around him. Instead of seeking out the upper echelon, seeking out those which were well trained. Can't you see why? He has surrounded his whole economy with people like Gideon's. People like Mary's that was an outcast. People like you and you and you. People like Brother Branham. People like Peter. People like that Maha that were made the great heroes of chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. Look at those great people. Look at them, how great they were. Were they? Not in the eyes of man. What kind of king is this that he would choose such as strong guards? Notice he says on the east side, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. That's the way they camped around the mercy seat. Now all of you know that. You watched the reading in the Old Testament. On the east side, right there, I'll put it down so you'll be sure to get it. On the east side was always Judah. The east. Judah. This is the gate. Judah. And with Judah was the head of three tribes with their banner. Three tribes with their banner, the banner of Judah. On the west side. Glory. Ephraim had three tribes with their banner. On the south side was Reuben. Three tribes and their banners. On the north side. North. Dan was three tribes. Now you watch on the east side. He saw what kind of a face? A lion. Now what's this? In these flags, these banners, these insignias, ensigns, was the image of an animal. Now this was their banner. Glory. So on the east side, he said he saw what kind of a face? A lion. Now, if we were to be able to move up in this tabernacle setting and see tens of thousands, times thousands, but right above the east side, the highest point in the east side would be a flag blowing in the desert wind. And if it can get calm, just calm enough to where we can see the insignia, it is a lion. Now below it will be these other tribal flags. And they too will have their own colors and their own insignia. And each tribe was given a certain animal And each tribe was given a certain color by designation. You see, the Spirit of God favors certain colors. If you don't believe that, why is everything so beautiful and green in the spring? I told Carol today, I said, God must love green. God must love so many varieties of green. Now, why didn't he make snow green and say the springtime white? Why didn't God make snow green? So whenever it come out of heaven, everywhere you look, it'll be like green jello. Why didn't God make snow red, like red jello? Why did God make it a cinnamon color? Why did God do it? God has certain colors designated for certain things. So each tribe has a color. And they have an insignia of an animal, which is a representation of a power or an anointing that they will be under. It will be a tribal characteristic. Glory. Notice this. Now he says, watch on the east side, you see the face of a lion. Did you notice it was a lion? L-I-O-N. That was a banner. That was the standard banner of Judah. Because Jesus come out of there, and he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. The first beast was like a lion, Judah. The second beast like a calf. Now watch, here we are on the setting of Revelation chapter 4, part 3. And Brother Branham is now going up in around the throne of God. And he's seeing these living creatures. And he's getting a vision of what those living creatures was. And how does he really get the clear understanding? He looks back in the Old Testament and sees the foreshadowing of what they were. I wish you could understand tonight that you're not a heavenly being, or an earthly being rather. That there's more to you than just when you began in this life. Amen. That you have an identity not only in the book of life, but a representation before the throne of God. That's why there's something in the real bride in this day to protect and overshadow the word. I hear false doctrine. I hear preachers preaching things. There's something that raises up in me, Brother Kenneth. I want to defend this truth. I want to defend this message. And I hear people making a god out of Brother Branham or whatever more that they do. There's something in me. You say, why don't you leave it alone? I would not be a true bride preacher if there was not a defensive mechanism that raised up in me. If there wasn't something in me, I should not be allowed to get behind this pulpit. There's something in me. I want to defend my Lord, the word. I want to defend this prophet messenger against all the blasphemy and the heresy that goes against it. Come on, children, why? Because I have a representation of a throne guard. Oh, glory. Notice the first beast like a lion, Judah. The second beast like a calf, that's a young ox. The third beast, the face of a man. The fourth beast, a flying eagle. Just exactly the tribes of Israel. Kept around guarding these earthly guards of the right to the ark. Let's put it up again, brothers. So if you were an Amorite, a Philistine, a Hittite, Jebusite, whatever more. And you decided you're going to peer into this place, this tabernacle. You've heard about it. You've heard people talk about what's there, but you've never seen it yourself. You make up your mind, I'm getting in there and I'm going to see it. And you start toward it from the east side. Now, in the back ranks, you're going to have men positionally placed on the flank. Men who will be able to subdue the first attack. You're going to have tribes and men that are laced on up second and third and fourth, however they were laid out. They are protecting the east entrance to the altar of God. If they have to cut you with a knife, if they have to trip you and make you fall, or if they have to put something in front of you that will actually make you stumble, they will do it. You see, this is why Matthew, being found on this side of the New Testament mercy seat, glory! And God knew that would be masses of people that would want to become Christians. So God set four guards around the book of Acts. And he set Matthew out there. Isn't it amazing? Matthew's the only one that mentions Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Why didn't Mark say that? Why didn't Luke say it? Why don't John say it? Matthew was set on that guard. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Matthew was set right there as a guard to that side. And he has kept thousands times thousands out of an entrance into the Shekinah. Now remember, Matthew isn't set there to keep out elect. Only Philistines, Hittites, Amorites, all kinds of ites. Don't hinder the elect at all. They read Matthew 28, 19, Acts 2, 38, and they say, I see it's the same thing. It's the same thing, and other people look at it and they just cannot see it because Matthew is doing his job well. He's still doing it today. You understand, church? Now notice, why not put them all up in one line? Why not make a circle? God knows what he's doing. Watch this again, Brother Ben says, the mercy seat. Nothing could come anywhere around it without crossing those stripes. The king's guards. But where's the cherubims? Where's the zoons? Where's the elders? Where's the winged creatures? Where's they? They're epitomized in these tent dwellers. What king? What king would ever come down and live among his inhabitants? You see, because he's so great, it's so hard for us to comprehend that God Almighty actually wanted to come down and live among them, Brother Jim, and hear them talk about their farms they're going to have, milking their goats, trading cows and horses, how to raise their kids. God left the praise of angelic beings and he wanted to come down and walk among them and hear them talk. Can you believe he loves you that much? He wants to be right there in your home. He wants to be right there, sisters, when you're making the bed or making a pan of biscuits or whatever you're doing. He loves to see you just lay your hand, your dough down or your flour, just raise your hand and say, Lord Jesus, I love you so much. Can't you understand? He left the glory of zooms. He left the glory of cherubims that he might come down and be there in your living room. Not three times a week, but every day. Notice how he says this now. Nothing could come anywhere around it without crossing those stripes. So you Trinitarians, you want access to the throne. If you hold on to your Trinitarianism, Matthew will keep you out every time. He kept me at bay for a long time. Once that seed kept getting enough light, though, I moved around to the other side of the gate and I saw where John was talking about. I said, glory to God, they're saying the same thing. Woo! Notice he says, you can't come anywhere around them without crossing those tribes. Crossing what? The lion. Crossing the man. Intelligence of the man crossing the workhorse as an ox by crossing the eagle. The heaven, the earth, in between and all around, you see. They were guards. Listen to this. The heaven, the earth, in between and all around. So four guards guarded the tabernacle. Four guards guarded the book of Acts. Four guards guarded the throne of God. Four guards have guarded the revealed word to the church ages. You see, there were guards. And above it was a pillar of fire. Brother, nothing touched that mercy seat without the approach. Now, why don't God take the pillar of fire and let the pillar of fire engulf the tabernacle? Wouldn't that be a more profound way? And if anybody come near, just let that pillar of fire go and scare them and take off running. But he's projecting the Gospels and the book of Acts in the New Testament dispensation as well. So it could not just be the pillar of fire. It could not be lightning, thunder, and the angels of God. It must be humans. Humans. Let's look in Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 4. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 4. And I looked and behold a whirlwind came out of the north. A great cloud and a fire enfolding itself. Now notice, not unfolding, but enfolding itself. So it's coming around and around and around. Now don't get all nervous reading this. Some of y'all have read this before and said, Lord, have mercy, I don't understand nothing he's talking about. Well, by God's grace, maybe you will. A fire enfolding itself and brightness was about it. Out of the midst thereof as the color of amber. Out of the midst of the fire. Now as I said, God chooses certain colors to review, to be able to make known certain attributes. In certain parts of the tabernacle, they were to use blues. Other parts of the tabernacle, they were to use reds. They were to use purples, different colors. So each tribe has a color. Each tribe actually had an insignia of an animal, a tribal color, and they also had a tribal stone. A stone by which was their birthstone. And then upon the priest, the high priest, glory, of the Urim Thummim was the birthstone of Judah, the birthstone of Reuben, the birthstone on down through there. So whenever a prophet told something from the Lord or a dream, the supernatural lights from God would come and hit and work among those lights and would hit the blue, the green, the topaz, the yellow, whatever it was. It would come out in the rainbow and reflect those supernatural colors. And if you look those colors in the four square ephod on the high priest, you'll find those same colors in the four square city of the new high priest and the bride. Don't you see what's written on the earth is a forecast or a foreshowing of what's in heaven? So Ezekiel sees this peculiar thing. He sees a fire unfolding itself and the brightness was about it. Out of the midst thereof is the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Now watch, Brother Branham. Watch the prophet here 595 years before the coming of Christ. See how his vision compares with John's. A whirlwind came out of the north. Brother Ben reads the same scripture. A great cloud of fire unfolding itself and the brightness was about it. Out of the midst of it was the color of amber. Watch him. He says, notice the color of the Spirit of God. Which was above the likeness of these four creatures. Was amber. Amber is yellowish green. Now watch, yellowish green, amber, always the same. Yesterday, he revealed himself to Ezekiel in the midst of Ezekiel's vision. This light that he saw coming above the four living creatures was yellowish green. When he came to John, he appeared in the emerald, which is also yellowish green. He comes now to the Revelator in yellowish green. He comes to us in yellowish green. Walk in the light. He is in the light. Now watch, when this amber color light appeared on the earth or in vision, Lord Jesus, it was to identify that the king and his guards were being made known. You see, friend, the sad part about it is, many folks around this message, they'll jump and scream and shout, and they'll see the picture of the pillar of fire, you know, as it comes from the loins downward and the loins upward. And Brother Branham in Lake Fort, California, 1960, oh my, they'll just jerk and quiver and shout, oh, glory to God, that's him, that's him, that's him. And they want to put all the glory on God, but what does that appearance mean? What did it mean in his former appearance? It meant that the king was here. And it meant the throne guards were here also. This is an eagle age. Not just one. An eagle age, not just one. The lion age was not just one lion. It was an entire age influenced by that anointing. The ox age was not just one man. The man age was not one man. Neither is this just one eagle. It's the king's guards. Lord Jesus. Notice now Ezekiel in verse 5. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. This was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And every one had four faces. And every one had four wings. Now when Ezekiel is called into this vision, the imagery that he sees is like they had a face here, one there, and one there. But the first and foremost face was the face of a man. Now, of course, you realize all these are symbols. So when he sees them, it is the image or the visage of a man that really sticks out to him. Wonder why man? Each one had four faces. Every one had four wings. Now, these creatures are a spiritual symbol of the throne guards around God's presence. The four faces speak of the characteristics which each of these embody. Now, remember, a beast in the Bible, of course, as we looked at with Darius and Nebuchadnezzar, is a power. So here is the power of God. The throne guards around the throne of God is symbolized by different administrations of the same God. So each face was an administration or a characteristic. Glory. So they have the face of a man. They have the face here, a face here, a face here. And then they have wings and they have hands underneath the wings. Oh my, they were peculiar looking creatures. And without a spiritual understanding, it would almost be like a monster. But whenever you go to looking at it, you see it's the very same story unfolded just in another way. Now watch them as they are here together. Here was a unity of all of these creatures, but it was a unity combined with diversity. Now here is unfolding the mystery of redemption down through the church ages, that in God's bride is a unity, but it will be a unity which will allow diversity. And this is the thing that the spirit of organization wants to make us all the same. Well, all the message folks want to do the same thing. They want everybody to act like Happy Valley, everybody to act like Branham Tabernacle, everybody to act like Cloverdale. That ain't what God wanted at all. God wants a unity of the faith, but a diversity which is allowed among the people. Now watch in verse 7. Their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their foot was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. So they had straight legs. The Hebrew word here is not a foot like ours. It would be straight. But they did not have a knee that would bend. But yet, they go in all four directions and never have to turn. Y'all look at me like I'm one of them creatures. Now this really makes the saying two-faced really magnified, don't it? Now, they have the ability because they also have wheels. So they can go all four directions and never have to turn. Turning means changing. That's what repentance means. Right? But if you had four faces, you could go either way. And you could see all four ways. Now watch, this describes their divine intelligence given to them by the power of God. That they don't need to, I need to turn and go this way. Oh, I see something else over here that I didn't know. No, but they can be able to go all different ways. And they'll have the hands under their wings, they'll have wheels, and they'll have all these capabilities. Every one of these describes a characteristic in this beast. You say, what in the world? What's that got to do with me? I come to a church and I'm fighting off as bunch of battles ever was. Maybe you need to look under your wing and find a hand there. Maybe you need to look and find your identification right here in this word and realize these battles are only temporal, and they will pass. They will pass. You will be when there is no more cancer. You will be when there is no more bills to be paid. You will be because you were before you come here. Your identity was written when Ezekiel saw this. He saw our representation. I wasn't even a man yet. So they got a calf looking foot on the bottom. Looks like burnished brass. The head, the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. They had four faces and their wings. Now, with this, each one of these things represents something in God's great divine signs. Man, of course, is the intelligent part, the intellect part, the ability to reason and all that. Now, their wings were joined one to another, and they turned not when they went. Now watch, their wings are joined together. Friends, do you understand what this is? Any of you know? No? Brother Bram said the reason that they're on wheels is because when Ezekiel sees this, the mercy seat has not found its permanent residence yet. Its permanent place to dwell. So they're rolling about on wheels. And no matter where they go, the throne guards are there. And they're rolling around. What is this? Is it an animal? Is it a creature? It's a power. It is a power of God around the mercy seat to guard that throne. Oh, glory. So what is it? Their wings touch. What are they doing? It is God's chariot. This is God's chair. And their wings come. Here come this one from this side, from that side, from that side, from that side. What are they doing? They're putting their wings together and they're making a seat. And there the king. Don't you remember when they made the mercy seat and the cherubim's wings touched over? And God said, I will meet you in there. There is where God is being enthroned upon what? The throne guards. Let me get this over to you. Many of you would never come in this building and raise your voice because you reverence this house. Many of you brothers, oh my, you'd never walk in here with a cap on if you forgot. Say, oh, it made me feel so bad. I forgot I had my hat on. Oh my goodness, this is the house of God. Oh, I shouldn't have ever. My, we talk too loud. I should say, shh, don't say, brother, shh. But this is where we meet with him. What about this house where he lives? If Jesus lives here in this building 24/7, I'm putting me a bedroom in here. I want one of you builder brothers to be here Monday morning. First thing, I'm putting me a bedroom right here and I'm moving in. But you know what? I don't have to do that because this is the place where Jesus lives. But yet we reverence this place. What about this place? And what about one another where Jesus lives? So their wings extend and touch and make a canopy. And their wings, notice, it don't say anything about the wings flapping. Their wings aren't moving. They're not flapping, so they're not using them to fly. Wings are his chariot. And this same Almighty God would want to condescend from the angel's wings to take up his abode. In my heart, what could I give him compared to that? Apparently, the way he looked at it, a lot more. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Let's stand.
Verse 10, as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, face of a lion on the right side. They four had the face of the ox on the left side. The four also had the face of an eagle. So a man, an ox, a lion, and an eagle. So here they are, the gospel dispensation prophesied on these beasts in the Old Testament. The throne goes. Where was it embodied? And you see what Jesus was? Jesus was the book of Acts on this chariot. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, their wings were touched together. And Jesus enthroned himself. Because Brother Branham said it wasn't the Acts of the Apostles. It was the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the Apostles. Can't you see why a lot of the message people do not have, they don't feel like they have to base their doctrine on the Bible? Can't you see why each year that goes by, they get farther and farther and farther away from this? Can't you see why many of them hate apostolic foundation? Can't you see why? They move right out of the pages of this Bible. They move right off the throne. They move right off the mercy seat. Come on, children. They know nothing about this Bible. They don't even think it's important. They don't think it's important to base doctrine out of Scripture. Yet Brother Branham said it was. Brother Branham said a doctrine should not even be preached over the pulpit unless it can be preached proof in the Bible. Come on, Happy Valley. But the people in the message believe that? No, many of them don't. And they'll never turn back to it. But the bride will, because she's the real throne guards. Don't you see what this message has done? It's opened the eyes of the blind. But to many of those around it, it will be right there as Matthew was to hinder them from going in. They'll focus right on Brother Branham. They'll focus right on this, that, and the other. And they'll totally miss the invitation to the throne room.
Oh, Lord. Children, if you can see what it's all about, you ought to be one of the happiest people on the earth. This message ain't Brother Branham. This message ain't you. This message ain't about Happy Valley per se. It's about Christ Jesus and His program and His bride. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus.
Lord, I feel so sorry for them poor people wind up in here in the morning. We pick up on verse 10 with this face of a man, face of a lion. They're going to be looking like one of us and say, what in the world is he talking about now? You appreciate God's grace. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, I hope I was able to present it in a way that was understandable to them, Lord. Dear God, what have you called us to be? What have you called us to be in this hour? I wonder for those of us who even embrace this knowledge of this great truth, do we yet to this day understand what we're here for? Do our sisters think it's just so that they can look different when they go to Walmart? Have long hair, a long dress, and our brothers just think it's so they don't drink and they don't run around their wives. Is this all we think this is about? This message was declared before Brother Branham was ever born that there'd be an eagle come on the earth. But it was not just a eagle in singular, but an eagle anointing. A power. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. For the eagles are still here. Help us, Lord Jesus. May we work under this eagle anointing. I know it's difficult maybe for them to understand. But open their eyes tonight, Lord, and help them to see. Many of the people in this message are still operating, thinking, studying, and listening to tapes under the man influence. They've never yet made the transition to the eagle. Because they take intellect and put quotes together. They take reasoning powers and form doctrines, which is not characteristic of the eagle at all. The eagle does not reason. The eagle does not take the intellect and figure out how to put this together and that together. That's not the eagle. How many of them, Lord, are working under the man? And they fuss and debate and argue and fight over their doctrinal things. Put together by men who preach it under the anointing of man. Give it to people sitting under the anointing of man. The intellect of man, the reformers. God help us, I pray, Lord. We thank God for the lion, for the ox, for the man. We thank you for that. And we know part of those characteristics are in this message still to this day. But we do not want the main influence of our life to be the influence of the man. Influence us, O eagle of God. Influence us, Lord Jesus, I pray. May we find our place under our banner. Help us, I pray, Lord Jesus. As those heavenly creatures are around the throne of God, even this very moment while I speak. Categories in heaven, angels that have never sinned, zooms, cherubims, and redeemed elders. The categories as they stand around the throne of God, and they adore and praise and magnify your name. May we, as the recipients of the throne room on the earth, may we do likewise. May we guard and protect, shelter and nurture this which you have given us, Lord. Grant that, Lord Jesus. We desire to be the king's guards. If I would have lived in the days of Julius Caesar, if I would have lived in the days of Alexander, or the days of the popes, I could not have been chosen to have been a member of the Praetorian. I'm too small. I'm not built right. I could not have been the guard to the Pope. I'm of the wrong nationality. But somehow, glory, you chose me to be part of the last guard of your word in the last day. So my build is not important. My nationality, my race, how I stand financially, none of that even matters to you. It's having a representation in the Lamb's book. For you too have chosen a certain category to be your guards. Though there are other people that you loved upon the earth, you acknowledge that Abimelech was a good man. You acknowledge that he was a good fellow. Brother Ben called him a good holiness man. And he said, Lord, you know the integrity of my heart. He said, yes, I do. I know the integrity of your heart. You didn't say he didn't have any. But you said you let that man pray for you. Your whole nation's gone. Amen. Abraham backslid, lied. But he was your choice. He was the throne guard. It was your election that stood when Abraham's faith wavered. Help us, Lord God, I pray. May then we, as this chosen of God, called, Lord Jesus, we're not called to argue. We're not called to debate. Brother Abraham said, God don't argue, neither does his children. So we're not called to argue and fuss and get on forums and debate back and forth of the message. People, I ain't wasting my time doing it, God. I'll sit around and blow bubbles out of bubble gum before I'll do it. I don't want to contaminate my spirit with all that nonsense. I'm not called to argue and fuss and quarrel. I'm called to protect. Help us, Lord. I don't want to wait to heaven to worship. I don't want to wait till I get to heaven to get around the throne. But I want to go around it right now, Lord Jesus. I want to worship you. I want to adore you. I'm called on this earth, Lord God. It was mirrored of me to be here in the end time many, many years ago. Hallelujah. When Judah and Ephraim and Reuben and Dan set up on the earth, I was identified in one of those groups. I was identified, and if someone come up from the backside or tried to sneak under, I was identified as one of them that would draw a sword and say, hey, where you going?
Come back up through here and start through this right approach.
May they see, Lord, it ain't just the preachers called that way, but they're called that way as Christians. Some of these women wonder what they'll do. You've called them, Lord, told them to let their hair grow out, told them to dress like ladies. Oh, to many of the world, it's a stumbling block to them. But some will raise questions and say, why do you do that? Where do you go to church? They've approached the throne guard. Their church tells them they can do anything they want to do, live any way they want to live. They don't know the approach to divine mercy. We do. We approach it through holiness and purity of heart and sanctification. Lord, help us, whether a man, woman, boy, or girl, to be able to protect the throne with holiness and integrity in our hearts, Lord God. Grant it, I pray, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many wants to be in your place? You want to find your place under whatever banner it is. Don't make no difference to me if it's under Judah or Dan or Ephraim or Reuben. I don't have to be a leader. I don't have to be some great something or other. Just let me be part of it. That's what I want to be. That I do desire. It don't have to be our banner here at Happy Valley. If we have to go under another, that's perfectly fine. But I'll tell you one thing. I am not leading you saints under a false prophet. I'm not leading you under a system that's man-made in this message. I absolutely refuse to do it. If I'm going to put you under something, I want it to be the revealed word of the hour, Christ Jesus, our head. I'm not pointing you to any man on the earth. I'm not pointing you to any headquarters on this earth. I want to point you, as the prophet said, our headquarters is in heaven. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, glory. Let's raise our hands. You throne guards. You throne guards. You understand how blessed you are tonight? You come up to the gate that Matthew guarded. But you had the authority by revelation. And you spoke to Matthew through a revelation of Acts 2:38. And said, Matthew, open up and let me in. Glory to God! Instead of Matthew 28:19, Buffalo and you, it might have held you back for years. But one day God gave you the key. And that key was revelation. And once he revealed it to you, you walked out through that gate. Glory to God. John may have held you out on this, that other. Mark may have held you out. Luke may have held you out. But glory, little by little, revelation by revelation, what did it do? It allowed you to make an entrance into the book of Acts, which was the mercy seat. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, children, why would not we want the acts of the Holy Spirit to be still living among us tonight? Why would we want to put an amen to the book of Acts? You know yourself, the last chapter of the book of Acts, there is no amen, which means it is conclusive. Why? The Holy Ghost knows what he's doing. He means for it to go on. He wants the book of Acts to be among us right here tonight. The same Lord Jesus walking right among us.
Amen. Doing whatever you have need of. Oh, you say, I need a miracle. But I want to tell you one thing. The God of the book of Acts is a miracle worker. Amen. Yes, sir. He is a miracle worker. He's got the power of a man. He's got the power of a lion. He's got the power of an ox. He's got the flying ability of the eagle. He's got it right here tonight to anoint his church. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. Oh, children, let's raise our banner. Let's raise our banner as it was. Oh, my, hallelujah. We thank God for the anointing of the man. We thank God for the ox. We thank God for the lion. But the bride, glory, the bride is under the last flag of a flying eagle. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We wave it tonight in the presence of our King. It's a blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We are not ashamed to say we love him. We're not ashamed to say he's our God, he's our King. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord God.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You imagine, church, on the Day of Atonement, when the high priest enters to the outer court, he comes in to the brazen laver. You remember, according to the scripture, the brazen laver was made out of the looking glasses of the women. So the women donated their mirrors made of brass, and they heated up those mirrors that the women saw themselves in. And then they molded that into a pot, and it made this brazen laver. And the priest would go in and wash his hands and his feet thereat. Then he would come into the second realm, and he would change his clothes. And then he would go into the third realm, and there he would make the atonement. But can you imagine, on the east side, the west side, the north side, the south side, they're not all out there gambling. They're not playing cards. They're not talking about their business. You know what they're doing? They're there. Solemn worship. Why? The high priest is not in there just for himself. He's in there for them. You imagine tens of thousands times thousands on the east side as they're watching in the pillar of fire hanging over that tabernacle. On the west side, they're watching. On the north side, on the south side, they're watching. They're all coming together to worship. Glory! God is not only going to forgive that man in behind that rim, but every true Israelite on the outside in their position is going to get forgiveness. Let me tell you something. We've not come here tonight so you can hear a preacher preach only. We've not come here tonight so Donnie Reagan can sing. We've come here tonight that as a priest, I can be able to go in and bring the word and elevate you to a place that you can be anointed, but that you also can enter into the courts of his tabernacle. That you can be released from your sins. That you can be healed from your sickness. That you can be delivered from that thing that plagues you.
Hallelujah. Oh, well, I wonder what it must have been there on the new moons and on the Sabbaths and the days of worship to hear 2.5 million or more in one assembly. And the priest doing the work upon the pulpit, as we'd say it. They're going to everything that God said and here on this side and that side, and millions of them as they're into this anticipation. That's the way church ought to be. That you don't come here and sit and wait for Brother Louie to pump you up and somebody to sing your certain special. You are here. Do you understand much of the way this service goes is by your expectation. And what you put into it, you will help dictate the way these services go in this hill. It's not just me. It's not Brother Louie. It's not just the preachers. But it's you as part of the congregation.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Do you realize if you would have been a Gentile proselyte, you were not allowed to guard either side? You would have had to sit outside the ranks. You were not allowed to take a position on the east, west, north, or south. Because the covenant was not for you. You were considered a proselyte. But today, we are not proselytes. We're not dogs. We're the clean. Oh, then what ought we to do with that privilege? You shouldn't even have to be told to raise your hands. When we come to the house of God, you should not have to be primed. Oh, friends, we ought to be past that. We ought to be past recognizing our position. Helps us to be moved beyond. Oh, come on, come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. Come on. There shouldn't be no come on, everybody. We should be mature enough in the gospel to know this is what I'm supposed to do.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Brother Bram said the wife ministers
to her husband. Praise the Lord. Don't you appreciate him? I want all four of my faces, my hands under my wings, my wheels, my wings. I want everything I've got. I want them all cranked up. I want them ready. I want them going. I want to be doing everything I can do. Don't you? Oh my, I don't have much to offer him. I'll tell you one thing, but I want to be wound up like a Mattel toy where that thing's cranked up in the back of it and oh my, I'm just buzzing around everywhere doing whatever I can do in my correct position for the kingdom of God. Let me close. Don't be offended as I say this. Lord Jesus, I present to you from this front, this part of your throne guards. We take our feeble hands, our feeble lives, give them to you. Who are we compared to a zoon, to a cherubim, to a seraphim? But it chose you to take their place. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, Brother Richard, can we go back to the first slide, the very first one? That one, yeah. Can you imagine if we could get a modern day drawing of someone here would do it for me when you get time? We wouldn't have Judah, Ephraim, Dan. We'd have you, and you, and you. You young people. And you would be the great eternal. The eternal. Enfolding himself. It would be us. His little simple people. Guarding him. But not only do we guard. We can also lead people in. Because we know the way in. To the secret of his pavilion. You know why the queen knows the access to the king? She's been in there before. Every castle, every palace had hidden tunnels, hidden passages in the way out. The Praetorian Guard, the Swiss Guard, whatever they were, they knew all of them. If there was an enemy on the west side, they knew a way out of the east side. And the entryway may be hundreds and hundreds of feet away from the wall. And it may come out under a spring. May come out near a rock. Hidden in the bushes. But it'd be a way so the family could get out. Right before the tribulation breaks forth on the earth. There's a passageway that's hidden. Glory to God. You better be following the right guard. If you're planning on getting out of this before the tribulation hits, you better be following the right guards. There's a secret way out. There's a passageway out of here. There's a way that we can get out of here, friends. We better be following the right thing if we want out. And we'll come out on the other side. It won't be a bush. It won't be a river. But we'll step into eternity. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing it together. I love him. I love him. Close your eyes now, you strong guards. Forget about what you're going to eat afterwards. What you've done today. Your troubles, your worries. Minister to your husband now. And purchase my
salvation on Calvary's tree.
Your brothers, a trust has been committed to you, different than the sisters. Your sisters, it's more of your dress than it is with the brothers. You see some strange dressed men in this day, but really the biggest part of the dress is more focused on the sisters. You've been given a sacred charge to bear in your clothes a sanctity, a chastity of coming in the presence of God that's not been given to us brothers as much. Brother Branham even calls your long hair his crown of thorns in this day. Your sisters. He don't say that about us men. Us men going to the barber shop and keeping a decent haircut. But the crown of thorns has been placed on your sisters with wearing your hair long. And a brother can't do that. Brother Ram couldn't bear that. Us preachers can't bear it. Only your sisters. You young people. Certain things is given to you that us older ones will never have to battle and face. But to each of us, according to our position, it's a holy sacred trust of the word. You listen to Invisible Union 1965 and watch Brother Benham parallel the trust given to women. Yeah. And he said, you watch the women go on rampage and you watch the church. And he said, given to the women is a sacred charge of motherhood and the virtues of her body. And he said, given to the bride is a sacred trust. Yeah. Prayer, the word. To each of us as ministers, we've got to trust. To laity, you've got to trust. You've got to trust not to living right, but doing right and behaving. You've got a sacred trust of worship that's committed to you. That nobody can take your place. And nobody can take your hands. To these beasts that were given by, not one beast could take the other one's place. They were so individual and so diverse, yet their wings touching together made his throne. Wonder what it could be when we come together here, whether it's Wednesday night, Saturday night, or Sunday morning, and all of our hands, all of our hearts merging together, Brother Dan, if it would not create a chariot again, as it were, to our King could come down among us, and he would sit right there on the praise of our hearts. I'm not talking about fanaticism and emotionalism. I'm talking about genuine praise that only real love can create. I'm not talking about something that just the music beats it all up and the music stops, we all quit. But something from our hearts. Praise has been committed to you. Prayer. Responsibility. A sacred charge of this word. Let's close our eyes now if you would. You don't have wheels. You don't have wings. But you do have hands. Let's just close our eyes and open our hearts and raise our hands. Whether you want to raise them to the full extent of your range over your head or raise them halfway up. Now this, what are we going to do with this charge of praise? Where Paul says, lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And what are we going to do with this charge, this ability to praise him? We want to turn and bring it back to him. Judah, what are you going to do on the east side? I'm going to protect my side of the tabernacle. What about you, Dan, on the north? I'm going to protect my side. But Dan, let me ask you something. What are you going to do in Yom Kippur when that priest is in behind the veil? What are you going to do, Dan? I'm going to worship. I'm going to adore. I'm going to thank God I'm included in the atonement. I'm going to praise. I'm going to magnify. When the words come out, but the high priest has come out of the holy place. And once more, God has accepted the atonement of our sins. We here in the tribe of Dan, under this tribal banner, we're going to lift our voices. We're going to praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. Lord Jesus, receive our worship, Lord God. as your throne guards on the earth. Some of the hands of these people used to hold cigarettes, used to hold beer cans, whiskey, all types of things. But now you've washed us, Lord. You've purged us. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, on Calvary's tree. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now let's just give him a wave offering, if you would. Oh, Lord God, we bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. When the coal of fire had touched the prophet, making him as pure could be. And the voice of God said, who go for us? Then he answered. Can you say the same thing? Here am I, Lord. Send me. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. My Lord, speak and I will answer. Lord, send me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Speak, our Lord. Speak to us tonight. Tell us what we can do. Hallelujah. With that sacred charge, that sacred trust you've committed to us. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord. God bless you, strong guards. Speak, my Lord. Speak and I will answer, Lord. Yes, Lord God. Lord Jesus.